Let's just have a little moment of silence, eh? Lord, as our young ones hear you, as you are speaking to them today, we pray that we too will hear your voice as you speak to our hearts. We will learn to trust you, just as we pray for our young ones that they will learn to trust you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bit of a different message today, in a sense, in that I want to just talk to the ladies. And yet, who am I to talk to ladies? And in that sense, I guess that sounds silly, but in a sense, everything we go through is fairly similar, I suppose. It's fairly normal. We're just normal people. So us men are normal men, just as our ladies are normal ladies. So I guess we really are just talking to us all. But I particularly want the ladies to really believe that God is for you. God is for you. He's for us all. Of course, if you were living in biblical times, the New Testament, you would be just chattels. You would just be treated almost, even by religious people, as just baggage. Useful, but not anywhere near as significant as a man. And that's been a bit of a blight all the way through history, in a way. But if there's nothing that you ever get from the scriptures than the fact that that's not the way God thinks of you. As a woman, just and surely we can say that as a man. We are significant. We are no more significant than anybody else. But we are significant, no matter who we are. We've been made in the image of God, male and female. Made in the image of God. Did you see that in the Genesis passage? That's where our significance is. Because we've been made in the image of God. Our self-esteem comes from that. Not from what the world thinks of us. Not from what others think of us. And then, of course, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we see he is just totally different to any other male that's ever lived, in the sense of the infinite love that he has for people and the infinite love that he has for every woman as for every man. I want you to remember that scene. A son carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders, yet even in his hour of agony, makes arrangements to ensure that his mother will be cared for after he's gone. Imagine having a son like that. We may not be able to have a son like this. We certainly will never be able to have a son like him. But we certainly have a saviour like this. We certainly have a saviour like him. The two readings that we've had today are in our minds, hopefully. But I want you to turn to another passage, a very different passage. It's the first chapter of Matthew. It's called the genealogy. I find the genealogy of our Lord Jesus quite striking. I find it striking because there are five women actually named in this passage. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. When I changed the message last night and changed all the readings, I couldn't get the readers to read this passage. It would just be too unkind with all of these names. But I find it striking and fascinating. There are 42 generations here of names. They're all men from Abraham all the way through to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them is a man's name, which was the custom of the times. Except in this genealogy, there are five women mentioned. I find that striking. I find that fascinating. Who are they? Well, let's start at the end of it in verse 16. Mary is one of these ones. Mary, it says, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah, the Christ. Now, you and I might allow this to happen because we would see that, well, Mary, I mean, after all, she was a pretty important person, Mary. But even taking that into consideration, it was unheard of in all of the literature of the time that a woman's name would be mentioned. Does that strike you as it strikes me? That God himself, through the Holy Spirit, writing the scriptures, broke all the customary norms. But when we work back through those generations, 42 of them, who are the other four? Well, going backwards, we come to verse 6. This woman is Bathsheba, a woman kidnapped and violated by a king, and her husband murdered by the express orders of this same king. Keep going backwards, we get to verse 5, and we find there the woman is Ruth. Ruth was a woman refugee who was brave enough and desperate enough after she lost her husband to make a journey with her bereaved mother-in-law to Israel and there to start at the bottom of the pile, collecting scraps in the field to feed them both. In that same verse 5, before Ruth is mentioned, there's another woman mentioned, and her name is Rahab. Rahab was a woman treated as nothing but property, and even though she resorted to prostitution to survive, she saw God at work. And she trusted him to save her family. The final woman mentioned in the genealogy is in verse 3. Probably not a name we've ever really read much about in the scriptures, but her name is Tamar. Tamar was a woman who was just a poor person who was handed back and forth to men who had no other thought than using her to produce an heir for them. Mary, Bathsheba, Ruth, Rahab, and Tamar. What a collection of people. What a collection of humanity. What a collection of human brokenness. What a collection of victims of Does that strike you? That of all the important women that could have been put into this list if there were going to be women, but there were never going to be women. No one would have ever put women in there. One of the great evidences of the Holy Spirit's guidance. Only God would have thought of a woman. Is God saying something to us in this? Not just to women. Is God saying something to us as men? Is there something God wants us to know and understand about himself in this? No scripture's wasted. Every scripture has the total, complete concentration of God's wisdom in the writing of it. Is God wanting us to know something about himself that applies to us and our relationship with him? Yes, he is. God is for us. But he wants not just everyone to know that, but he wants women to know that. Not important women, but women who are just like us, just like you. Women who have been broken, who have been mistreated, who have been taken for granted, who have been taken for a ride, who have been troubled, who have been alone. Women who live real lives. Not the Hillsong Christianity hanging off the light fittings lives, but real life. The struggles, the battles, the questions that we all feel, and men too, in that sense. God's touching us all. Us men who have broken the women in our lives. I've broken my mother. When I was young, I broke her. Never knew it until I became older. We've mistreated the women in our lives. We've caused them trouble. We've deserted them and they've been alone. That's because we're real men, unfortunately. But God is for us. God is for us. These women here, in the ordinary everydayness of their lives, doing whatever they had to do in their times to survive, to respond to God, to care for those around them. Real women who live real lives. And that's us, isn't it? Real men that live real lives. And it's got nothing to do with the stupid crap that gets talked about as what a real woman is and what a real man is in this world. We all live with the crackedness and the stretch marks in our lives. And God is for us in that. He made us in the first place in his own image. Not physically, but morally and with that ability and capacity to respond to him, to think, to move, to understand beauty and be creative, made in his image in that sense. needing to be loved and needing to love. And even when it all came crashing down with Adam and Eve, and then just has gone on through every man and every woman down through time, God's never let go of us in his heart. And of course, as we've celebrated today, the greatest thing that he could have done for us is to restore us to himself. Greatest thing that's ever happened to us in our life is that we've been restored again. We've been forgiven, we've been cleansed, we've been justified, we've been reconciled to him. And now, as that 2 Corinthians 5 chapter tells us, we're new creations. New creations. The old has passed, the new has come. And we're getting more Christ-like every day. That's the plan. That's his plan. You know, it's not like I was listening to someone the other day from Iran who was talking about, and we often have this idea, very linear thinking, that from this point to that point's a straight line. That's the quickest between the two. And in his upbringing, with his understanding, with the shape of the poets that he read and so on, he said, it's for us, we see it as more like a spiral, round and around, gradually coming in close. And each of those moments, each of those points on those that circle, that spiral, can be little turning points. Which way are they going to go? Which turn? Like Gary was saying this morning with communion, are we willing? Are we willing to be more Christ-like today than we were yesterday? Are we more willing to treat the women in our life more like they deserve to be treated? Are we more willing today to become the woman that God wants us to be? Even if that means breaking norms, even if that means standing against someone, are we willing to grow, to become whole? To become gradually. It won't be complete until after the resurrection of our bodies and we're there with the Lord, seeing him face to face. But his plan is that we grow. Are we willing to grow and become more and more and more the people that he wants us to be? We may not have a son like the Lord Jesus, but we have a Saviour like him. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today that you care for us, that we matter to you. And we pray, Father, that we will not only take that to heart, and that you'll remind us of that truth at every turn along the way. But that also, Father, you'll help us to understand that that's what you think of any other person in our life and any other person that we will meet this day and in this coming week. They matter to you. You care about them just as much as we matter to you, and just as much as you care for us. Fill us full, Father, with the proper understanding of how precious we are, and then overflow us that others around us may be touched by your love and your care. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Sim.